We're gonna start this morning. Are you gonna pray for us? Should I pray?
You can.
Okay. All right. We're gonna start this morning. We're continuing this theme of the fact that we're and people. And so we're gonna hear from Sherry in a little bit later. But let's settle in. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for letting us gather here with family and church family to just hear about the ways that you work in us, and to, more importantly, have an opportunity to thank you for that, to worship you. Let us be present this morning and kind of leave everything that happens outside this building, you know, on the front stoop if we can, so we can really hear from you and speak to you. We know that you know our needs even before we speak them, but that you love to hear from us, your children. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Well, hi, everyone. For those of you I haven't met yet, my name is Sherry, Sherry Whiting. And I'm just going to share a little bit about my life and my time doing some mission work. Trying to just get it on my phone here because my eyesight isn't great. If I start rambling, please somebody give me like the cutoff because I tend to do that. But yeah, here we go. It's not showing up on my phone, so we'll just go from here. All right, let me get situated here. I titled this Misfit Missionaries because I think it's kind of laughable to call myself a missionary, and we'll get into that. But here's a little bit about me, and I'm going to start with a disclaimer. I'm sharing my personal experience, my opinions, so if I say anything that sounds off, please come and talk to me after the service, email me. You know, I would love to discuss if I do say anything that's like, or if I say anything interesting and you want to hear more about it, again, just reach out to me. Oh, and thanks, Jen, for holding Liam during worship. That was a huge help. Yeah, so I'm grateful and lucky enough to have had a really strong Christian upbringing. I think back and I can't remember a time that I didn't know and believe Christ as my Savior. I think when I was 4, I said the magic words of, I invite Jesus into my heart. But that was probably because my older siblings scared me about hell. So, you know. yeah, so when somebody asks me to share my testimony, I kind of get a panic moment because it's like, oh, my testimony, I've always known God. But I had like a epiphany moment when I switched my thinking of testimony as how I learned about God versus sharing what God has done for me. And when I think about it that way, there's tons to share. You know, just give me a time and place and I could talk, you know, for ages there. So yeah, my family is great. has given me a really strong foundation. I also attended Greater Portland Christian School from kindergarten all the way through, and attended Christ Church Evangelical, which is over by the airport. Pastor Mark Pearson leads that church, and every time I attend a service, if I go with my family, I feel like I learn something. He's very theologically sound, very based in scripture. So yeah, I'm very fortunate to have had a strong foundation, and that's definitely carried me through. That being said, this quote from one of my favorite authors, Maya Angelou, she says, I'm always amazed when people walk up to me and say, I'm a Christian. And she says, I think already, you already got it. You're already like a Christ follower. And I really relate to that because I feel like I'm always in progress. Here's a picture of the Cinderella moment. Like, I would love that bippy boppy boo moment where all my filth falls off and I just am this beautiful princess of Christ. That's not me. I'm definitely more the under construction work in progress. And that's another shift. So shifting my thinking of testimony has been really important, but also shifting my thinking of transformation from a one-time transformation, ta-da, miracle moment, which I do believe happens. You know, we hear stories of it in the Bible where people completely have a 180. But for those of us who kind of grew up in the Christian church or in the faith, I feel like it's more of a more like mini moments of transformation, and it's kind of like a calling to be transformed daily. Good morning. And here are some verses that I relate to that kind of speak to that more of a dynamic transformation instead of a one-time transformation. I'm not going to read them all to you just for the sake of time, but you know, just Philippians talks about believing that God will continue and finish the good work that he started in us. And I think that's, you know, I have strong faith that, you know, I believe everything about the Bible, so that is also then calling me to believe that God is working on me and will continue, even when, you know, I focus on the bad things that I'm doing or how I'm failing, all that kind of stuff. So also in 2 Corinthians, it says, we are being transformed into his image, and that comes from the Lord. So it's not, it's up to us to walk with him and to stay connected, because apart from him, we can bear no good fruit, and that's very evident. So anyway, I definitely would prefer the ta-da moment instead of the subtle shifts, but on the bright side, it means that I have to stay connected to Jesus, because on my own, I can do nothing. So that's on the bright side. And then 1 Samuel says, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. I find this both comforting and convicting. Comforting because it's like, okay, God knows me. He knows my intentions. He knows I want to do the right thing. He knows I want to stay with him. And then also convicting because it's like, oof, he really sees it all. Yikes. And I'm saying all this kind of as a disclaimer, because appearances can be deceiving, and we all see each other, and we don't really know the inner lives, or like the secret lives. So even with strong faith, I can say I have strong faith, and I've had a really strong base. I've had every opportunity to kind of teach me and grow me in my faith, and I still struggle. And I say I'm the most sinful person I know, because I know everything in my heart. I know everything in my thoughts, and it's like, my tendency, my nature is pretty rebellious. You know, when I meet people who don't have a rebellious nature, I'm like, oh, wow, that's awesome. Good for you. I'm pretty quick to anger. I'm kind of spicy sometimes. And then if you pair that with kind of low self-esteem and a sense of perfectionism, it's kind of a yikes combination. So, yeah, that all being said, I just want to basically, like, any sin, you know, been there, done that. Like, I've probably struggled with everything in the book. The biggest things being, you know, depression, and I'm not calling depression a sin. I'm saying God has saved me from a lot of myself and my own nature. I am very prone to depression. You know, that's like a repeating thing, but God has definitely like lifted me out of that in the past. And I was absolutely addicted to self-harm for years, and God has saved me from that. And, you know, perpetual loneliness, and that kind of plays, that's like a recurrent theme, and as I get into my work with mission work, it's like, that doesn't go away, you know, that's actually almost made, you know, the spotlight is on that, when you're away from your family and your comfort and everything, but yeah, God is with me through it. I'm just trying to get it on my phone here, too. Okay. Is it gonna work? It's trying to like present to somebody else's phone, so sorry if you have it on your phone. Great. All right. Yeah, so another thing. So anyway, just going on about my sinful nature, like it's just ridiculous that I have done mission work at all, because it's like me on my own is like, nice. You know, I deal with shame, and God has taught me to try to shift that to, instead of focusing on myself and how bad I am and my shame, shifting it into humble gratitude that he would still use me. I find that I often don't fit in with other Christians because, you know, I have a strong base and I have the thinking there, but it's like I tend to not like fit in with the popular, cliquey kind of like elite. I don't know if anybody has experienced that. And also like people who, you know, present as goodies, it's like, oh, okay, I just don't relate with that. You know, and I can feel critical of hypocritical Christians, all this kind of stuff. But yet we're all, so this is why the title, hence the title of Misfit Missionaries. I've really appreciated the authenticity of this church family and how
I've related to a lot of your stories, those of you who have shared. I just feel like we are made up of real people with real stories of God working in our lives as we are. And I also really appreciate the open invitation to serve. I feel like FBC makes it pretty easy to get plugged in, which is really important. And so I kind of think of the Island of Misfit Toys from Rudolph. These are the toys that are kind of discarded or kind of a little weird. And I kind of think of our church family a little bit like that. So, you know, like, let's be misfits together. Apologies if I've offended any of you for calling you a misfit, but I'm roping you in with me. And this, I don't think we're going to play this audio just because we didn't embed it here, but again, another quote from Maya Angelou, who I just think is incredible. She just has a moment where she's having an interview with Oprah, and she just says, like, she talks about how she read the phrase, God loves me, and how simple it is, and how she just kept reading it again, and then she just kept getting so moved by that. And it's like, you know, every time we really do fully reflect on that, it is pretty incredible that he knows us and loves us anyway. That's pretty amazing. Even when we are still dead in our trespasses, Ephesians says, and he makes us alive together with Christ, saved through faith, not of your own doing. It's not a result of your good works, and yet you're still called to walk in those works that God has prepared for you. So anyway, that's kind of all my disclaimer, my intro about me. And I'm just going to walk through a few different trips that I've been able to be a part of. Part of being part of a Christian school is I've had these opportunities. So when I was a sophomore in high school in 2007, I got to go to Guatemala, and that was with my Spanish teacher, who I love. And it was really incredible, very impactful. We had a dentist with us, so we set up a dental clinic. We did some construction, things like that, odd jobs. And mostly what I was doing was just kind of playing with the kids, teaching some crafts. I don't even know what we taught. Painting, you know, just whatever. But really, the connections with the kids were super impactful. And one of I'm going to have different hair in like every picture, but I'm the blonde on the left at that time. And the little girl that I have my arm around, her name is Susily, and she and I really connected, and she's just so beautiful and sweet and just was all over me the whole week. And we exchanged information, we were able to stay in touch, we were pen pals, and we're still friends on Facebook now. She's a mom. I was able to sponsor her through the rest of her education, which was really, you know, meaningful for me as a, you know, as a kid myself, to be able to help her out in that way. And you know, she went on to college, she's a mom now, and you know, we stay in touch. And really just the hospitality and generosity of the Christians in Guatemala. They're so authentic, open, and loving. It was just really impactful. I'm really excited to go back. I know it'll be a different trip, different area, but really excited to see what that is like. But this trip really solidified my love for the Spanish language, the people who speak it, and just kind of that focused attention on helping and then realizing what God does through you or to you while you are helping. 2 years later, I was able to do another trip with a Spanish group. It was a domestic trip just to North Carolina, so a little bit less flashy, less exciting, but just as impactful. We partnered with a local Baptist church, and mostly, like, the main point of our trip was my professor, or my teacher, and her husband were actually doing courses at a local college on church ministry or church leadership. And this church happened to really need that. They had an elderly pastor who was wonderful, and then they had like no leadership, and then a bunch of new members. And so what our group was kind of doing, not me, but the adults, were kind of just really encouraging them and teaching them how to step up and, you know, just the structure of being elders, all that kind of stuff. And while they were teaching, you know, the leadership of the church, the students and I were just teaching Sunday school, playing with the kids, playing with the families. We did a lot of volleyball, painting, cleaning, whatever. And the church had their ministry, their main ministry was outreach, going door to door. And they were like, you guys are going to come with us one day. And I immediately was like, no, like, I don't want to do that. One, I don't want to speak in Spanish to people. I don't want to be going up to people who I don't know and being like, you're going to hell, you know? I don't want to do that. So I was pretty feeling resistant. Again, there's that rebellious nature. And I was like struggling with it and praying to God. I was like, I don't want to speak Spanish. I don't want to do this. I don't think it's even right. I don't know. And I think God just really opened my eyes during this. It was really, you know, it was moving to see this church so dedicated to reaching out to their neighbors. We went to this neighborhood that was, you know, it was like, you can kind of see it in the background there, kind of trailer homes that were, well, there was trailer homes, and then there were concrete structures that had four walls, and each wall had a different door, and those doors were each homes for different families. So four families in one little building, a lot of impoverished people there, and we did have tracts to hand out, but luckily I did not have to, I actually ended up having all my conversations in English, which was nice, and had some really deep, like, real connection moments. And I think I only talked to, like, three people during that time, but it was like, we sat down, we had tea, it wasn't just like, here you go, and moving on, and really just did invite them to church and invited them to meals and stuff like that. So it wasn't as bad as I thought, and, you know, I was out of my comfort zone, which is sometimes a good thing. And then in college on spring break, I was able to go to Jamaica. There were two groups that went. One group was the soccer team, and they invited me to go with them. I didn't play soccer, but I was invited to go with them. They ended up at the beach, Montego Bay, and they were just playing with kids all day on the beach. My trip was not like that. We were in the like kind of remote area, and we went to a deaf village that's started by the Caribbean Christian Center for the Deaf. And it was actually, I mean, such a good trip. Not as like fun and flashy as, you know, you kind of want for spring break, but it was like definitely more important for me. We did odd jobs by day and VBS by night. So the village is made up of a lot of people who are deaf, and they had started through the school that the Caribbean Christian Center for the Deaf had started. So they went through the school, they learned their trades, so this is the school there. I'm kind of all over the place. But once they grow up, they live in this community, and they have a chair making business, they have a canning business, they have sewing. They have a bunch of different trades that's right in that village, and the school is teaching them education and then also trades alongside that, so that when they graduate, they're not just left with no job and, you know, helpless. And they also provide housing. So once they go through the school, they've known a trade, or they can do something with their hands, or some way to support themselves and their family, and then they have housing as well. But then they often have children who are hearing, so what we were doing was providing VBS for the hearing kids. And that was pretty neat to see, because they just loved using their voices and seeing that we could hear them. They would like scream at us. What? Oh, Vacation Bible School. Yeah, okay. This is us up on a hot tin roof, and they had a drought at the time, so we were scrubbing and painting this roof with no water, so we were scrubbing with bleach, which dries really fast in the sun, and also the sun was so strong, there was no amount of sunscreen that could protect the skin, it was just like blisters all over. But this trip was really great for cultural learning. You know, I didn't know anything about Jamaica, and I learned a lot. Can't go into everything right here, but I just loved seeing how Christians in Jamaica were helping people who needed it, so providing real help in a way that would be sustainable and was more about what the people who were receiving needed, and kind of building them up to just have those social services that they needed. And also, you know, attending church with them was really beautiful. I had never seen deaf people sing before, and it's like different than just speaking with their hands. It's like, it's almost like a form of dancing. It was really beautiful, and I loved that. And then one of the days we were able to go to a hospital, a local infirmary, which was just kind of like it looked different from anything I'd been to before. Very impoverished people who had just kind of been discarded by their families. And the amount of joy that was coming from these people was like just really humbling. There was a woman in a wheelchair who I was talking to, and she just was like so excited to show her wheelchair. And she was like, and these were hearing people at this hospital, But she was just so excited. She's like, look, I can go from one end of the room to the other. And I was thinking, like, there's no ramps, there's no deck. So she hadn't been outside in years. But she was just so excited to be able to move independently. And then there was a blind woman who grabbed my hand and was like, please read some scripture to me. And she had a Bible, and it was well-worn. And I was like, okay, where? And she would tell me a reference, and I would look it up and start reading it. And she would read it, like, she would quote it with me. And just, she had, I think, the whole Bible memorized. She was just so, like, that was her one possession, essentially. And she was, like, happy to have it. This is us walking to the church. And it was really, I mean, honestly, really beautiful. I would love to go back, though I'd probably, like, selfishly want to go to the beach. But anyway, all that kind of is leading up to what Victoria actually asked me to talk about, which was my time in Argentina. So after graduating college, I didn't know what to do. I felt like I could do anything, but I was unwilling to, I don't know, I wanted God to tell me what to do. So I kind of had like a few months where I was just struggling in prayer with God, just being like, I'm not going to do anything unless you make it super clear, like put it in my lap, make it like drop from the sky, you know, I'll be obedient, I'll do whatever, but just like you make it happen. And he did. He responded in that time. After living with my grandmother for a few months in Connecticut, I eventually moved home, and then randomly got a call from a friend, an acquaintance who I had known from my time studying abroad in Buenos Aires, and he's like, hey, would you ever teach? And I'm like, I didn't study teaching. And he's like, well, here, email your resume to this email. And so I was like, okay, whatever, did it. And adjusted it a little bit to show the times that I had had taught, like, you know, different things. I had some experience, but not like formal training. Anyway, fast forward, it ended up happening where I got the job at this International Christian Academy called BICA, and I was able to teach, first it was second grade for a 6-month long-term substitute position, and then it turned into another 2 years of teaching third grade. I was teaching all the subjects, but it was in English, thankfully. You know, I was teaching math, Bible, everything. And my students were made up of, I was trying to think back, and I counted up to 17 different nationalities. So a lot of them were missionary kids or kids of diplomats who were in Argentina. There was a lot of turnover, people coming in mid-year, you know, a lot of international students, a lot of wealthy families, and also then unwealthy but immigrant families who really valued education would send their kids here. It's got to be accredited by these, it doesn't matter what they stand for. But anyway, it was like a nice prestigious school, and I was the only person on staff without that formal training. So I said like, hello, imposter syndrome, because, you know, I had to do some extra courses to become certified. But here's another instance where it's like, yeah, this is not, this was definitely a God thing, you know, that I was placed there, because it didn't really make sense for me to be there. And it did require a lot of work. I was there after school every day until the cleaners would shut down the building. They're like, you gotta go home. And I'd be like, I'm trying to learn, I'm trying to plan. Kind of a crazy person. Eventually it did kind of level out. But, you know, I was responsible for developing the curriculum, the scope, the sequence, all this kind of stuff, and then also the classroom management, which I hadn't done before. So it was pretty, it was tough. And it didn't really necessarily feel like missionary work, except for the salary. You know, it was like a missionary salary. So I was able to tutor English privately and give piano lessons on the side. So, you know, just God had that planned out too. You know, just everything just worked out. And also, all the teachers lived together in a house, except for me. So there's another instance of me feeling like the misfit. But also, like, I didn't really want to live with them anyway. So it's kind of like, whatever, you know? God has his reasons, you know? But just having to, like, work through all that, you know? Outside of work, I was able to just kind of travel, enjoy, live in Spanish. So it was great. I got to live in Spanish and work in English. It was, like, perfect for me. So I just included some pictures here, just kind of showing what it looks like. You know, my idea of Argentina before I went there was totally off. It's very European, mostly Italian descendants, and lots of tango. This is looking down from a terrace at a tango party. this is my class, my baby class. And yeah, we got through that first 6 months, and then they ended up sticking with me because I moved up with them to third grade. And there was just a lot of little God moments, like the kids would come in and be like, I dreamt that you were going to be my teacher next year. And I'm like, oh, that's so sweet, but it's not going to work because I'm only here for 6 months, and you know, there's not a position open, and you're in second grade. I teach second grade. Next year, you'll be in third grade. I'm not going to teach third grade. And yet, then I did. So, it's like, okay. Yeah, this is the staff. So it was made up of a lot of expats like me. So expatriates are, you know, people who are from the States or from other countries who then go and live and work in another country for a period of time. And then the other half of the staff was Argentine, and because the school also needed to be accredited for Argentina as well. So our school days were 2 hours longer than a regular school day because they had that English portion and Spanish. Yeah, again, staff picture, my classes, going on field trips. So the kids were just amazing, and there was a lot of teaching that happened, a lot of learning that I went through in teaching them. And I think that's kind of my point in all this, is like in serving, you end up learning and gleaning a lot of information. Here, just, you know, different things I got to do, just places I got to go, traveling, and just really experiencing it. And you know, I found that being stripped from my comfort zone and being kind of on my own, it was really necessary for maturing and, you know, just really great experiences, but also there were times of a lot of, like, severe loneliness, and it actually made me realize, okay, maybe I too want a family someday. And sure enough, you know, like, I made a list of all the things I would need in a partner, and then sure enough, like, Seth comes along as soon as I move back, and it's like, ding, 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 ding. I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. yeah, just lots of pictures. The kids are awesome. We'd had a lot of, like, spirit day field trips, and I loved them so much. And then, you know, as my time there kind of leveled out and I felt more integrated and just, like, calm about teaching, you know, I kind of got the hang of teaching a little bit. I was going to I went to a yoga studio a few times a week, and it didn't make sense that I was going to that studio instead of the one that was, like, closer to me, but for some reason I was really pulled to this one. It was across the train tracks, so anytime I told friends that I was going to that yoga studio to exercise, they were like, oh, be careful, you know, like, our friends were like, I've never been over there, like, that's, you don't go over there, like, rent a car, take a taxi, it's fine, I'm gonna ride my bike or my skateboard, and it's fine. And going on my way to that studio, eventually I started feeling a really strong pull towards a specific area, and again, didn't make sense because it, like, smelled terribly. I had to hold my breath going past it, but it just felt like, again, it was a God thing. It was like, look over here, look at these kids. And Argentina has, I'm gonna try to, like, sum this up, but Argentina is a very like, European type country or city, Buenos Aires specifically. It's very built up. It's pretty comfortable as an American going there. And then kind of, you wouldn't see these unless you're looking for them, but there's these slum villages called villas. They pronounce the double L as a sh sound. So a villa is like a shanty town. And a lot of these started up in 2001 when they had the latest economic crash. And they've just kind of exploded. And a big reason for that is, I don't know if I have a slide on this. I don't think so. But is due to this drug problem that's, it's called Paco, and it's like the super cheap version of like a cocaine paste kind of thing, and it's mixed with glass, rat poison, I don't know what else, maybe, who knows. It's like a concoction of like remnants of cocaine and a bunch of toxic things. And the issue is that it's so cheap and so easy to make and get, and it's such an immediate high that people who are living in these shanty towns are like, they don't really have much opportunity, and it's everywhere around them. Like, if you walk through, you can just see people like handing it out and taking it, smoking it. It's like everywhere, you can smell it. And it's an immediate high, like instant high, and also instant addiction. So you do it once, you're addicted. And also it destroys your brain. So it destroys any part of your brain that you're gonna be like, that would help you stay away or like overcome addiction. So I found a stat that in 2009, half of the boys and men aged between 13 and 30 were addicted. And that was 15 years ago. So it's just increased. So these villages, these vishas are like pretty overcome by that. So severe poverty, totally stark contrast to where I was living and where most people like visit or anything. But this picture, this is just a Google search image. This is not my picture, but this is like when you fly in from the airport, you land and you kind of drive past the one of the biggest vishas, which is Visha 31, like 31. And it's like just sprawling, and most Argentines wouldn't step foot anywhere near that. I was able to go through there with a friend. We went through and just to kind of experience it, and didn't bring anything with us, like no phone, no wallet, anything, because it's like that would be taken. But we were safe, and you know, just kind of that was more of like a curiosity thing going through. But the cava, the one that I said I felt the strong pull to, that was actually pretty close to my house, just over the train tracks. And I just could hear some kids like playing, and that's kind of, I think, what stuck out to me, and I could hear some voices, and I just started praying about it, and then I was like, I don't know why, like, I'm not just gonna go up and be like, hey, how's it going? Like, I'm Sherry, like, okay, great. But I just started praying about it, like, I have a strong pull for this, I don't know what it is. And then, sure enough, a friend of a friend reached out to me and just happened to mention, he said, La Visha, and I was like, oh, what do you mean? And we got talking about it, and he was like, oh, I go on Saturdays to this little escuelita, the little school of Living Rocks. And he's like, yeah, we just started it, like, a couple years ago, and through their church, the Baptist church there. So he's like, you want to come? So I started volunteering on Saturdays, just doing kind of a Sunday school type lessons, simple crafts. Really what we would do is just give the kids attention and feed them and then send them home. But so nothing that amazing, but it was, you know, amazing for me. But this is just another Google image. This is kind of where I was living in the North Zone. You know, it's beautiful, boats, river, you know, just so beautiful. And these are some houses. The one on the bottom left is one that I taught English at. And, you know, the butler would come and I would, oh, okay, here's my backpack and go teach them some English. But and then this is the Visha. So it just kind of, you know, minimal electricity, you know, just anytime it rains, it floods, that kind of thing. Just wild dogs, like stray dogs walking around, and they're not nice dogs. Like, I love dogs, and these dogs would be like, if you see them coming, you need to, like, get away from them because they're going to attack you. And just, I guess, again, just like the filth, the smell is just all over the place, and this is how, you know, they're living every day. So this is the little school. They did a little goodbye party for me. That's what this picture was. But again, when I went in, I wouldn't bring my phone or anything like that. And, you know, it definitely was out of my comfort zone. The kids were so hungry for love because, you know, their dads and their brothers were probably addicted to Paco. Their moms were in over their heads, you know, just doing everything they could to get by, that the kids would just kind of cling onto you and not let go. And, you know, they would do things that were really inappropriate, like pull your hair, you know, like try to bite you. Just any kind of attention was good attention. I had a kid, like, who was snuggling with me, and I was, like, gonna get her off to go do something, and she, like, peed on my lap because she's like, no, I want your attention. Like, okay, you know, I got lice from being here. That was the first time, and that was like, you know, definitely not like a, oh, thanks God, like, I love this. It was really frustrating, you know, those kind of moments, and it also knowing that, like, I'm not doing that much, you know, like, I'm not gonna, like, save them from poverty or shut down all the vishas and get everybody in nice homes. Like, that's not gonna happen, but God works through just those small moments of, like, you know, working on your heart. And just spending that time with people is worthwhile. And also, one of the main, we were trying to get to the boys especially before they got of that age where they started getting into the gangs and stuff. And some of them would be like, oh, today I'm gonna go hang out with this group, and we'd see the group there and be like, no, come here, we have snacks, we have candy, like, come learn about Jesus. So anyway, a lot of stuff. Oh, and it was also really powerful to be able to go through those, you know, go into the Visha and just know, like, I knew that God wanted me there for some reason. And so I knew, I wasn't afraid. Like, I knew I was protected. And there were times where I would walk in and there'd be, like, real violence happening, like, left and right. And it was kind of like this, I don't know, just magical moment of just, like, walking through. And, like, I knew the glass wasn't going to touch me kind of thing. It was like, Or if it did, it would be fine. Like, I was where God wanted me to be, and that's really powerful. So just lessons learned from the Christians in other cultures, you know, they really do teach me to be, to value people over possessions and quality time over comfort. There'd be times I'd be at church for like hours in Argentina and be like, I want to go home, like I'm tired, I'm hungry. But you know, like the people there are just like having a conversation. They're not going to go home because they're still having that conversation. There's like more emphasis on, you know, what really matters, I would say. And just some fruits of the spirit that I attribute to Guatemala, I think of goodness, North Carolina, faithfulness, Jamaica, joy, Argentina, just patience and peace. And in all these, just God's omnipresent love. And I do believe God used these opportunities of focused missions to teach me, shape me, humble me, and reveal himself to me in new ways. He always kept me safe, and he kept me financially afloat. And most importantly, he stayed in relationship with me. You know, there were times where I felt like he woke me up just to see a sunset or a sunrise kind of thing. Just like some really special quiet moments. And then also in that too, like me coming to terms with like, okay, do I want to do this for the rest of my life? Maybe not in this capacity right now, you know, just realizing like, no, I do want to be with my family and I do want to have a family of my own too. And that's okay. Like that's not, you know, contrasting to God's plan. Yeah, and I guess, you know, if you spaced out during all the rest of this, I would say, like, pay attention now, because this is my takeaway. I would say that God can and does use us, like, misfit sinners, works in progress, and I don't know why, except that it points to his glory instead of our own, and the less shiny you are, the more it points to him as being the one who's done it. And I would say, our willingness to serve is used, you know, God uses those to meet physical needs, emotional needs, and spiritual needs of both parties. When you're serving, you go into it with the intent of helping others, and I find that it becomes less about what you're doing and more about what God is doing through both of you. And also when you're outside of your comfort zone, you learn a lot. You might see another side of Christ or, you know, change your perspective on a group, learn some, you know, something that you would not normally learn because you're just comfort, you know, when you're opened up like that, you're pretty vulnerable and you're able to take things in. And you might learn about, you know, your own selfishness or tendencies towards that, and also something pretty beautiful about yourself. You might learn that you're actually pretty courageous, things like that. So in closing, I just wanted to pray this over all of us, that I adapted it by changing the you to us, because, yeah, it's definitely like I absolutely still very much a work in progress and need this prayed over me. So if you'd bow your heads and pray with me. I pray that God may strengthen us with the power through his spirit in our inner being so that Christ will dwell in our hearts through faith. And I pray that we, being rooted and established in love, may have power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen.